Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
My guest tonight, by the way, is a 23-year-old singer and songwriter. Jamie Orr takes his inspiration from bands like AC/DC and Audioslave. Now, I have to say, I'm already a fan. I'm a big AC/DC fan. Playing guitar helped him to overcome major speech difficulties. And he has a new single out called Heartache. And we'll have a little clip of that there now. Hold on. There we go. There you go. Welcome to the show, Jamie. How are you?
Hi, not too bad. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
By the way, I'm kind of honoured that you shared the stage with Eric Bell, so I'm led to believe in Vicar Street. That must have been a good experience for you, was it?
Oh, well, we were actually, it was, I used to, when as a teenager, I would have done a lot, we would have been very fortunate enough to have been involved with a lot of kind of the Lizzie crowd and stuff. So it was actually it was a tribute for Gary Moore. It was actually when we were in Brighton. We were on similar builds and stuff like that, and got to talk with him, and he was a really, really, really cool guy.
I was a big Thin Lizzy fan. I was only talking to somebody yesterday, by the way, but one of the best gigs I was ever at was 1979, Thin Lizzy in Simmons Court in the RDS, and Queen in the RDS, and I managed to find the ticket stubs for the Queen concert in the RDS, and it was standing room only, and it was £5 for a ticket. And I said, you have £5. You wouldn't get a drink for that now. Anyway, it was an amazing time in music. And I'm delighted, by the way, that you have an inspiration like AC/DC, because probably one of the best live bands, certainly in the world. And poor Al Angus, I don't know how they must be filling him with oxygen or giving him a shot of adrenaline before he goes up on the stage. I don't know how he manages to do it. This little old man. When you see him, I saw a video there when the last time they played in Croke Park, I went to see them. And the following day, I saw a video of him signing autographs outside a hotel in Dublin. And he's like this little old grandfather signing autographs. And then you see him 20 minutes later, he's up on a stage like a lunatic, flying around with a guitar in his hand.
Sadly, it's dead odd. And I think it's just the passion in him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so, any excuse to get up and play.
So, by the way, it mentions here that you kind of overcame major speech difficulties. So what were your speech difficulties?
So it was just five, 6 year old. Like I would have had to, like when I was in classes and stuff like that, I would have had to been kind of taken out in between and stuff like that. And I wouldn't be able to articulate properly.
Okay.
Sort of if things were wrong and stuff like that. There is a term for it. I can't remember. But it
not was, like a stammer or something, was it? Was it a stammer you had?
It was finding words to describe if things were wrong or things were right. Like I was. There is a term for it. I can't. I'm not too
But it's
sure.
amazing how music can make you overcome things like that. You know, I mean, we all remember, of course, Gareth Gates, who had a very bad stammer. And, and music made him overcome that. You know what I mean? I knew a radio DJ who had a really bad stammer when he wasn't on the air.
Yeah.
But as soon as he went on the air and opened the microphone, he didn't think there was anything wrong with him. So it's amazing how your passion and your drive can make you overcome those things.
From what I said, it was a huge turning point for me. Like I knew, like it was like I took to it very, very early on, and I knew from when I was doing it, I knew exactly from then on what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? It was more like second nature to me. You know, even getting up and playing. You know what I mean? It always felt a lot more natural, and I don't know. It just felt like a good thing to do. You know what I mean? And just I'm still doing it now, you know.
one of your most nerve-wracking experiences was when you were 12 years of age. You were on the Late Late Toy Show. I remember you you, Jamie, on the Late Late Toy Show. Yeah. I thought you were great. Yeah. That must have been 12. You ain't 12. You must have been a nervous wreck.
Oh, always. I don't think the nerves never, they never change, even now before you get on. You know what I mean? It's like what you say. You know what I mean? It's such a big passion, and as I said, I wouldn't change it for the world, you know. But it does definitely doesn't change, you know, every time doing it. But yeah, I was terrified.
And well, who was doing it? Oh, Ryan Turbidy was doing it at that stage, wasn't he? Yeah,
he was.
Yeah. Ah, but look, he was good. You know, he was good doing the toy show. I have to say, I don't give him a huge amount of credit, but generally speaking, but he was great at the toy show. I love to have played the guitar. I was in a band myself when I was about 17. We were useless, by the way. Absolutely, we had about 5 songs. And I played the drums, and I was useless too. Anyway, but we didn't go anywhere. And Gale Force was the name of the band. Could you ever think of a worse name than Gale Force? That wasn't my idea. We were a rock band, and we were absolutely pathetic. But we did about 4 public gigs, and that was it. And the band broke up. We had a row. Anyway, we were only about 17. Yeah. We were only about 17 at the time. But here's the thing, you know, I mean... trying to remember, and this is something that I just couldn't do. When you're, you know, doing guitar riffs or whatever it is, trying to remember. When I watch like people like Mark Knopfler and people like that great guitarist Brian May, Eric Clapton, all these people, it's trying to remember those riffs. You know, for each individual song, is that easy for you, or is that difficult for you? Because I suppose if you're a singer, you can always have the lyrics on an auto cue on the floor. You know what I mean? But you can't do that if you're a guitarist.
Well, it's funny you mention it. I always think with guitarists, you've mentioned such iconic guitarists, and they've such iconic tones and such iconic feels. I even think, like, if I'm learning something, you know, I'll try and get it as close as I can. You know what I mean? Mm. But like when you're learning riffs of any sort of style, and particularly like in the field that I'm trying to go, you know, I'm trying to develop as much of my own style from those influences, and by learning those riffs, and in terms of the difficulty of them, yeah, they can be really challenging at times. You know what I mean? But as I said, it's music is a learning process, and all the time, as I said, you learn more and more from all these great players and their influences, and the more and more you go on, you develop all your musical vocabulary with it. So yeah, sometimes it can be difficult to learn some of those riffs. I won't lie, as I said,
what's your favorite guitar riff?
Oh, you know what? I love playing is a Led Zeppelin one. Actually, it's The Ocean.
Oh, okay, I know.
Great. It's a great. It's one I love using on warm ups just before gigs and stuff like that. So, like with any sort of shows and stuff like that, they're great ones to sort of warm up.
I think one of my favorite riffs is probably "Shining Your Crazy Diamond" by Pink Floyd. Great riff. But mind you, I'm a big Queen fan, so anything that Brian May does blows me away. I love, and I'm talking about the older Queen stuff, not the more commercial stuff from the more recent times, but the older Queen stuff. You know, "Sheer Heart Attack," Queen 2, all that kind of stuff. Some amazing guitar work. And what sort of guitar do you play?
So I went through a few different ones, but at the moment it's a brand of PRS. It's a Parry Smith brand. It's Santana would have used quite a few of them.
Oh, right.
They're really beautiful guitar. And then I play Strats as well.
It's one of my favorite pieces of music, by the way, Samba Petit, which is a great piece of music by Carlos Santana.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Can you play it? Can you play it?
Yeah, give me a few minutes.
I'm just asking. It's because it's a great piece of music.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
You mentioned AC/DC and Audioslave, but I mean, do you do a lot of covers, or do you do a lot of? I mean, you do much of your own stuff.
So a lot of, as I said, for the moment, like we're doing it, I'm going out on the and trying to do stuff under my own name, be under Jamie Orr Band. I play with 2 guys as well who are top class. You know what I mean? Some of them have backgrounds in different musical styles, and the idea is we are trying to kind of put our own sort of stamp and trying to make our own sort of niche for ourselves. And as I said, we're in the process now of working on another one too at the moment. As I said, we had a few releases that we put out not too long ago. As I said, that one that you just played is the more recent one, but we're as I said, we're just trying to keep working away and trying to do shows wherever we can, and just trying to apply for festivals and you know yourself, just trying to keep ourselves busy.
That's the problem, is it? It's kind of hard. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of luck involved in it as well, but being in the right place at the right time. It's hard to get in there. It's hard to get in and get the venues and get the gigs and get on the stage with the right people, you know, to get support to maybe a good band or whatever. You know, it's kind of hard to get to break into the market. That's, once you broke into it, you're grand, but it's hard to break in, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's like, I don't believe I don't think it's impossible.
No, it's
I
not.
I really don't. And as I said, like the guys, as I said, we've all of the lads that I've been playing with, we've been playing for such a long time, and we know how to get crowds going and stuff. So any sort of shows we played, we've been very fortunate. You know, as I said, they're session heads in their own right, so session musicians. So they play in other bands too. So we've all had the privilege of playing very big stages. You know, myself and would have had Cork Opera House, you know, Vicar Street. Then would have been away in England for a couple of gigs and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then as I said, we had a headline show. I was headline shows in Whelan's as well, doing some bits and pieces for TV here and there as well. You know,
yeah,
you
got a piece that was featured in a music documentary, Mr. Dreamer.
Yes. So as I said, we helped a little bit with bits and pieces like that. As I said, that was a real privilege, and it was a real kind of a new sort of experience. But as I said, all these things are just adding up bit by bit. You know, as I said, just keep learning the ropes, and we're getting to a point.
Who's the best guitarist in the world apart from yourself, Jamie? who's the best guitarist in the world? If I was to give you a top three, who are the best guitarists in the world?
I'm a big fan. I'm a big John Mayer fan, as I said.
He would be a big choice as a
blues player. You know, Hendrix would probably be another one for me as well, because I love the way he'd approach the guitar almost like a piano.
Yeah,
which I think,
or he would put it over his head, or fling it on the floor, one or the other.
Yeah,
yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah. And then I like Clapton as well, and guys like that. Anybody who can generally, if they play kind of good blues stuff, Gary Moore actually, he's a really really good one.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, well, I'd probably go for Eric Clapton, Brian May, and Dave Gilmour. Probably the best guitarist in the world. Apart from yourself, obviously. Present company excluded, Jamie. Well, look, good luck in the future. What's the next step? Can people go and see you? Where can they go and see you?
Yeah, so we're hoping, as I said, now we're early in the works with it, but we're hoping to get another headline show in Whelan's upstairs. As I said, we're going to be working on singles for the next couple of months, and the plan is then we're going to be putting them out there, sending them out everywhere that we can, try to get in for blogs, you know, music posts, and anything that we sort of can, as I said. But the plan is we're going to get early stages, but we're hoping a headline show in Whelan's in a couple of months. So if people are interested in that, they follow me on my accounts, Jamie R Music, JAIMEORR Music.
Okay, well, if you want to follow him there, and you can get all the information you need if you want to go and see Jamie and his band. And as I said, it sounds like great stuff, and you just heard a clip for there. Listen, Jamie, thank you very much indeed for joining me, and the best of luck in the future. Keep up the good work and keep it rocking.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right, there you go, Jamie Orr. And as I said, you can follow him there and get to see him wherever he happens to be playing. It's always great to see young Irish musicians doing well, by the way. I have great support for young Irish musicians, particularly when they're playing good music. If they're playing crap music, I couldn't bother supporting them. I often hear, we get, you know, a lot of press releases into the radio station, and you get a lot of people sending you in music.
Can you kind of come on your show with my new single, you know what I mean?
And I swear, I've listened to one or two of them, and some of them are appalling. Like, they're awful. Like, they're just terrible. It would be embarrassing. You know, you'd feel like saying them, is there maybe another hobby that you're into? You know what I mean? that you'd like to do, because maybe music isn't for you. You know what I mean? Sorry, AJ, what are you trying to say? AJ, what are you trying to say? No, I can't hear you, AJ. You'll have to say it to the microphone and be open. Come on. The public want to hear what you want to say, AJ. AJ, the public want to hear what you want to say. Don't be whispering things in my bloody ear. They want to, okay. See, she's a bit of a chicken, isn't she? What are you saying, AJ? I could replace Simon Cowell. Am I that mean? No, I mean, if they're shite, AJ. You know what I mean? I mean, if somebody sends me an email saying, can you feature me on the show, and they send me this piece of music that's trash, you're hardly going to put them on, are you? It's a bit embarrassing, like, you know, and then you have to turn around in the air and pretend to be all nice and go, yeah, that sounds great. You know what I mean? I mean, Jamie sounds really good. We should be backing people like Jamie and other people out there. But not the ones that send us the emails. Some of them are terrible. Oh, there was a guy who sent us a Christmas song there. Jesus Christ. I swear to God. Hospitalisation is what they need, some of them. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show tonight. I should talk to you again on Monday. She says I'm in trouble now. I'll talk to you again on Monday. I love supporting Irish music, but good Irish music. Not awful stuff. some of you out there are producing music. You should just give it up. Like, get a hobby. There's loads of other hobbies you could do. But some of you who are producing music, it's great. And I wish people would give you more support. Thank you very much indeed. Back again on Monday at the usual time at 9 o'clock. Until then, have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.